Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, from the Cannes Film Festival to the Battle of the Sexes tennis match, Kieran O'Connor from 98FM is here with me for Throwback Thursday to reminisce on things that happened around about this time of year in years gone by. Good afternoon, Kieran.
Afternoon, yeah. It's nice to kind of make everyone feel old of a Thursday. That's what I'm
and that's
to
what
do.
It does. Yeah. It succeeds. It succeeds. So let's firstly throw back to 1993 and a debut of a television programme that we all know and some love.
Yeah, 31 years. We're going back to Frasier when it started. It was the spin-off to Cheers, which a lot of people may know, following Fraser Crane, played by Kelsey Grammer, who after his breakup in the show, he returned to his hometown to become a radio host and a massive predecessor, a widely regarded TV show, one of the greatest TV shows of all time, Dr. Fraser Crane Show. That was his phone-in show every week. And yeah, we're going back 31 years to when Fraser started.
But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
I was always a fan of Cheers. I loved Cheers. I never really got into Frasier, I have to be honest. It was set in Seattle and Washington,
it was,
I think.
Seattle, exactly. Boston is where Cheers had been set. But like, it was a massive show. He played that main character for 20 years, from Cheers onto Frasier.
And in fact, Frasier became even more successful than Cheers ever was, believe it or not.
Widely regarded. Yep. Won Emmys and everything else along the way. But Frasier itself, 264 episodes across 11 seasons, and it ended in 2004.
And it was resurrected last year. I haven't heard anything about it since. I know I saw loads of news stories about it being resurrected and he was in it, but his brother Niles wasn't in it, and it was a hodgepodge of actors. There was much hype around it last year, but nothing seems to have happened since.
I think sometimes with these shows, they're best just left. Leave them, don't touch them, don't try resurrect them.
Have a listen to this. As soon as I play this, you'll know exactly what we're talking about next.
It's a classic.
It is, isn't it?
Everyone
really
knows it. 60 years. Let's go back when the Addams Family came in to the neighbourhood and came onto our televisions. It was this week, 60 years ago. That's when that happened. So it started out as a cartoon. Charles Addams is the man who created it, and it was in newspapers, The New Yorker magazine as well. Very successful, so much so it was turned into the TV show, which came on Friday, September 18th, 1964. Ran for two seasons, and it was so successful, the franchise grew to movies, to Broadway. I think it was even here in Dublin at one stage.
I never knew it only ran for two seasons. To me, it seems like there was much more episodes made than that.
That was the TV show itself. However, there was animated seasons and everything else. So there were so many different spin-offs and franchises. But following, of course, the Addams Family, it came kind of popular in more recent times once again with the Wednesday spin-off, which I think was a Netflix show. That only happened a couple of years ago. And yeah, I mean, the theme song, everyone knows it, and everyone knows the Addams Family.
Absolutely. All right, now let's fast forward then to 1970. Do you know who this is?
All along the watchtower, princess kept a view.
That, of course, is legendary American rock guitarist and singer Jimi Hendrix, who sadly passed away on this day in
1970.
1970.
54 years we're going back. Yeah, Jimi Hendrix's version of All Along the Watchtower there. Bob Dylan's song, of course. At one stage, Bob Dylan said, you know what, this isn't my song anymore. It's a Jimi Hendrix song. That's how popular that version came. But yeah, we're going back 54 years when Jimi Hendrix died this week in history. Born in Seattle, Washington, moved to the UK in 1966. And that's kind of when his career took off. The Jimi Hendrix Experience, some massive songs. And he passed away in London the 18th of September, 1970.
He is a member of what's become a club that nobody actually wants to be a member of. And that's this 27 club, which is all of these famous people who died at the age of 27.
Yeah, I guess the informal list of musicians and celebrities, actors, artists who died at the age of 27. As you said, Jimi Hendrix is a member of the 27 Club alongside Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, Kurt Cobain, Amy Winehouse, all these massive names.
And that's what I was about to say. You think of all of these names, massive names, Amy Winehouse being one, and they all died at the age of 27. Yes, their impact on the world of music was a lot more than a 27-year-old would normally have achieved.
Amazing, isn't it? No, it really is. Some of the biggest songs in the world down to these people who sadly passed away at the age of 27.
Now, I never heard of this next thing until I read up about it earlier on, and I never realised that there was a tennis match back in 1973 that was billed the Battle of the Sexes. I'd have only been a tiny little baby at the time, so I don't remember it. But tell me about the Battle of the Sexes tennis match.
Yeah, we're going back 1973, this week in history, 51 years, one of the biggest matches to change the face of tennis, also changing the struggles for equality. Billie Jean King defeated Bobby Riggs. So Bobby Riggs was the number one tennis player, serious player at the time. However, along his career, he tended to taunt female tennis players.
He basically was saying male tennis is much more enjoyable to watch and we're much better players,
yeah,
basically.
And there's bigger money in it and everything else. It was 29-year-old King who stepped up at the time. She was the number one female player. And she took on Riggs and won.
Mm.
Not only did it change her career, but it changed the career for women's tennis in general. She walked away with a prize at the time of $100,000, which in today's money is well over half a million. But
it also, it was the most viewed television match in history.
Massive viewing. 50 million people in the US watched it. 90 million people around the world watched this. So it was a massive milestone in not just tennis, but in history in general. Rumours afterwards came out. Was there fixing involved in this? Did Riggs let King win because Riggs had debt and things like that? Was he putting money on it himself? Nothing ever came out, but the one thing that did change was women's tennis.
Mm, absolutely. All right. Now, finally, let's have a look at something that began on the 20th of September, just after World War II, in the south of France.
Yeah, an interesting one. The first Cannes Film Festival, one of the biggest film festivals. When we think of films, we think of Cannes. 78 years we're going back, 20th of September 1947. World War II had just finished, so a lot of the films were war-based films. Cannes Film Festival came about an interesting way. So the Venice Film Festival had been there in previous years. However, there was kind of interfering from politicians. In 1937, Mussolini made it his business to make sure a French film didn't win. Then in 1938, Mussolini once again interfered to make sure that his son's film won. This is when other countries said, this can't go on. And the French got involved and created the Cannes Film Festival. And
it's
here we are
ever
this
since.
Day. Yeah, for many, many years. 78 years, to be precise.
All right. Now, finally, Kieran, and very quickly, let us have a look at some of the number ones around this time in years gone by. And we start with a song that was number one in Ireland and other places. But what year are we talking about here? What song have we got?
Well, we have Snap Rhythm as a Dancer. Sounds like this.
What a song.
It's a banger.
So it really is. It's one of those 90s dance tracks that has survived very, very well.
Can you guess the year, though?
1992.
Oh, Adrian, straight out. It was 1992, this week in history. It was number one in Ireland. Snap, coming from Snap, the German Eurodance group, released it in March 92. It blew up all around the world. France, Ireland, Italy, Netherlands, Germany, number one everywhere. And it's still an anthem.
There's one line in it that they still get criticised over to this day. And it's the line, "I'm as serious as cancer." When I say rhythm is a dancer, they got a lot of flack over that line.
All right.
Yeah, there you go. Now, what next? The UK.
Yes, let's go back with a Stevie Wonder classic. I just called to say
I love you. Song I never liked. Never, ever liked that song.
Well, you know, it's funny because it's his biggest selling single. So
ever.
Just because you don't like it, millions, billions around the world do love it. It was number one this week in history in the UK. But how many years ago?
I'm going to say either 83 or 84.
84. Mm. 40 years we're going back. As I said, his biggest selling single topped the charts in 19 countries and became Motown Records' biggest selling single in the UK.
Funny story about that song. I worked in a little small radio station in Bray back in 1984, as it was. We went through about 7 or 8 copies of that song because it kept on vinyl.
Yeah.
And it got played so often, it wore out and wore out and wore out, and we had to keep buying new versions of it. So.
Maybe that's why you hate it. You got sick of it.
That's exactly why I hate it. And finally, we have this one.
It was number one in the US this week in history. But how many years ago? What year?
Yeah, you've got me there now.
Okay.
I'm going to say maybe 2004.
Madonna Music was number one in the US in 2000. So 24 years we're going back from her 8th studio album. If you want to have a laugh, go back and watch the music video. Ali G featuring it. In it, he's driving Madonna around. Her friends are in the back. It's a bit of a bizarre music video, but very of its time.
Very good. All right. Kieran O'Connor from 98FM. Thank you very much indeed, as always, for Throwback Thursday. You're listening to Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.